Welcome to the Rewilded Human Podcast, where Dr. Lucille and Lynn will tackle your most difficult and intimate questions with candor, tough love, and a little dash of humor. In today's episode...
When you are sexually awakened, however that happens for you, everything becomes more vivid and colorful.
So the sexual energy can be that powerful that it actually helps with the manifestation.
Absolutely, absolutely. Because you need powerful energy that raises your frequency, which we talked about. When the penis is inserted into the vagina and there's friction and motion happening there, you're actually stimulating reflexology points for both partners.
And it's like the penis pictures within 2 seconds. They're still coming. And if you don't send them a nude picture right back, then they're blocking you. And I was really shocked. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to episode 25 of the Rewilded Human Podcast. I'm here with my beautiful co-host, Lucille, Dr. Lucille. Say hello to everyone.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back.
And today we have a very interesting episode for you guys. Look, I'm already blushing. We're going to be talking about sex after 50. The physical limitations. Is intimacy the same as sex? Is sex still important after 50, or should we be like ashamed of ourselves and stop all this nasty business right now? How to maintain a healthy sex life and how to deal with different sexual desires within a relationship, which I think is very, very common. It's very rare, especially after many years of marriage or, you know, after past 50 that you have two people that have the same level of interest in sex. So Dr. Lucille, where do we begin? What do you think?
Really, it's so massive. I think we'll have to do a few of these episodes.
Really. So we had like a post about this. Remember a few weeks ago, I did a post about this and there were so many comments and everything on Instagram about, you know, some people say like, you should be ashamed of yourself. You shouldn't do it. And think back when we were like in our 20s and we looked at older people and we're like, oh my God, I hope they're not doing the nasty, like how gross. I definitely, you know, once I reach 40, I'm done. That door is shut. And then of course, as we're aging, it's just like a normal part of life, normal, absolutely, healthy part of life.
Absolutely.
And I think for our hormones, it's also very important, you know, as we're going through menopause and everything else. So also for men to keep producing testosterone and to still have that will and that drive to do things and everything. So is it something that we should be ashamed of? Something that we should be hiding?
The only reason you would be ashamed of it is because somehow you have gotten the story in your head from, and it's everywhere, that this is a bad thing. It's somehow bad and a sin. I think a lot of religious indoctrination goes into this. And those people who are afraid of coming out of their comfort zone on any level in their life, you know, whatever it may be, who've led a very sheltered and secure life where they, you know, they just do what's expected of them and they, you know, they have their children and they, you know, save up their money and they have their retirement fund and they do their blah, blah, blah. For those people, I think the whole thought about sex after 50 comes as a real threat because it is so life expanding. And I think people know it in their heart of hearts that it can be so life expanding. And yet so many people are so afraid of expanding their lives on any level, right?
Very true.
And yet, you know, you have to, one of the things that I have been always interested in is that there's a big contradiction between what we've been taught in Western societies and the ancient health or spiritual practices, things like Ayurveda. Well, not Ayurveda so much. I would say maybe Tantra and Taoist practices, which are like really thousands of years old, where they revered the sexual power of the human. Mm-hmm. And they focused on things like how to enhance your own sexual power, not only to gain success, like they, you know, that the emperor had tremendous sexual potency and therefore could rule his empire and protect his empire when he was at his highest sexual virility, for example, or use certain sexual practices to improve their connection, their link to the spiritual. And so for them, it was really, really important that people, and to be perfectly honest, is mostly the upper classes, not the rest of us down here. It was mostly upper classes who were systematically taught how to nurture their sexual energy, and as we spoke about in the past episode, actually use it to manifest
Interesting.
whatever we desire in life, right?
So the sexual energy
And
can be that powerful that it actually helps with the manifestation. Wow.
absolutely, absolutely, because you need powerful energy that raises your frequency, which we talked about. And when you are in that state of sexual ecstasy, that is one of the highest levels of vibrational frequency.
So they can
And
manifest their 40 virgins, for example. That's one way to do
Those are
it.
the guys that bought the propaganda that will actually take them in the opposite direction. But anyway. But the other thing that was revered was the male-female connection. That was really potent. And I remember learning about that also in from ancient Egyptian texts. You know, I had a teacher who was into ancient Egyptian lore, and they strongly believed that it took male energy and female energy, and that acted kind of like a battery. When you brought the two together in certain practices, it could level up everything, the physical energy, the emotional energy, the spiritual energy, everything. And we have lost a lot of that because Christianity, and I don't mean to be critical of Christians or, you know, but the Judeo-Christian tradition is a lot about sex is about procreation. You know, it's a sacred act in marriage to have children, but that's all that the sexual act is for, right? And I think that's just about, well, just propagating more slaves in our
Yeah,
society, you know, just propagating slavery, right?
And that women shouldn't even enjoy sex. Like, we don't need to enjoy sex. It's really for the men, right? And we are supposed to be just producing children. But it's so much more than that.
It is so much more than that. And I think the proof of that is that when you are sexually awakened, for however that happens for you, everything becomes more vivid and colorful, right? You know, life is beautiful. You start experiencing joy. You ride above all the petty frustrations of your life, the stress, et cetera, et cetera. And you don't have to have a partner to feel all of that. You know, you can raise your own sexual energy to feel that way. You become more creative. You take pleasure in things, a lot more pleasure in things, even if you're not actually having sexual intercourse.
I started a challenge last year, last June, to masturbate every day for 30 days. And a lot of women were on board with that. And it was we got some really interesting results and some really interesting feedback. So, if for someone that doesn't have a partner, you can still have the benefits of this whole sexual energy just by yourself. You don't need to have a partner.
Absolutely. You do not need to have a partner. And the other thing that has been claimed, like there are some sex gurus out there, you can see them on Instagram, whatever, and they claim, and I know that it's actually true, that the more sexual you are with yourself and the more comfortable you are in your sexuality, the healthier you will be overall. And people have done things, they've cured thyroid conditions or they've reverse things like arthritis or other chronic illnesses. Now, I can't verify that as, you know, medically or not, but a lot of people have given testimonials that once they got into regular sexual practices with themselves or their partners, that some of the chronic conditions they had just kind of disappeared, things like migraines and all sorts of other things. Oh, here's, speaking of which, here's an interesting fact. For any if there are any reflexologists in this audience, you tell me if this is true, but there are reflexology points on the penis and the vagina that actually match each other. So that when the penis is inserted into the vagina and there's friction and motion happening there, you're actually stimulating reflexology points for both partners,
That is so
which
cool. I
maybe
never heard that before. That's really
Apparently it's quite quite amazing. So I would say that we have been sold a bill of goods about sex,
Absolutely.
and that we need to reclaim our sexuality. And I don't think there's any reason why age should be a barrier.
It shouldn't. I agree completely. But with women, often with women, it starts with women that we start to have a decline in sexual desire as we're going through menopause, as estrogen's dropping, our hormones are changing. And so it's usually the woman that loses the desire first. And that can lead to a lot of different issues within a relationship, right? Especially if the man is still wanting to be quite active. What can you do in a situation like that?
I would suggest that sometimes if you look in your history, and I'm not saying this is true for everybody, but if you look back in your history, you might also find that some of the disinterest in sex also comes from the fact that women have not really been all that satisfied with the sexual intimacy for quite some time. I hate to spill the tea on the secret here, but a lot of women are actually secretly relieved when they get menopausal symptoms because it means they have an
They have an
excuse
excuse. They don't have to use the
not to
headache.
have
I
sex.
know, because the friends that I have my age and acquaintances that I chat with about this, and they're all like this. It's like, oh my God, just leave me alone. They don't want it. Or some of them want to increase their sexual desire because they want to please their husbands and they don't know how to do it. So I know a lot of women are struggling. And then you have the physical symptom, the vaginal dryness and all those other kinds of issues that make intercourse more painful. So it can be a very challenging time. And as you probably know, a lot of, as you definitely know, a lot of marriages actually break up in the 50s.
Yes,
And could
absolutely.
this be like a contributing factor that people actually stop having sex, or the women don't want to have sex, or the men don't want to have sex? I mean,
Well, the issue then is, well, you still have responsibility for your own sexuality. And maybe women who go through menopause are completely okay with dropping the whole thing. They don't want to have anything more to do with it. But I would say that it's, again, it's a loss. It's like amputating a part of yourself that it could bring you such a fulfilled life. And whether or not you enjoy doing having sex with your husband, might want to ask yourself, do I want to go through the rest of my life not having any more sexual pleasure ever, and not having that feeling of fulfillment and vibrancy and just joy of living, which we just talked about? I mean, I don't know. I certainly couldn't, but I'm not judging if people just feel like, oh, it's just been such a horrible experience having trying to have sex with my husband or having had sex all these years. I don't judge you for being dismissive of the whole thing and just wanting to let it go. But I also think that one thing that because we have never really been taught how to express ourselves sexually in a fulfilling way, we're just not taught. It's one of those things like, oh, well, we tell you how you can create babies in, what do they call it? Do they call it sex ed
Sex
class?
education, yeah. In Canada, it was sex education, yeah.
So we'll tell you how you can create babies, but they don't tell you, well, this is how you relate to your own body when you start getting sexual feelings, or this is how you communicate with your intimate partner about sex,
No, and then
or
you
these
watch 10 years of porn before you get your girlfriend, and then, yes, absolutely.
You're right.
Absolutely.
And
But there's
you're
also
not taught.
a big difference, there's sex and there's intimacy. And you can
Yes.
be intimate with someone without actually having intercourse, for example.
Intercourse,
There are
of
other
course.
ways to explore each other's bodies and everything. So if you're finding, intercourse painful and you don't desire it, but there are still other ways to be intimate with the person that you love. And I think that's really
Absolutely.
important to keep that going. Like, for example, if he's having some issues with erectile dysfunction or anything like that, but there's still other things that can be done. And I think that's really important to keep that intimacy going in order to feel connected to that person so you don't feel like you're just, living with a roommate or a friend.
Absolutely. I think that's an excellent point, Lynn. And one of the things too that is important here, I've also heard women as they get older say, the sex is better now because he has to slow down. He just can't, especially partners who've had a little bit of trouble, maybe with premature ejaculation or whatever, they have to slow down. And for the woman, that is what she's always wanted. She's
Wow.
always wanted long periods of
Yeah.
foreplay and just enjoying the sexual caresses and all of
Foreplay,
that.
all the guys are going, what the hell is foreplay? What are these people talking
Foreplay.
about? What is that?
I
They're all
know, I
Googling
know.
foreplay. What is
Right. But the
foreplay?
problem is the poor guys, they don't get an adequate sex education. They're not going
They
to hear
don't.
it in the locker room. They're
Yeah.
going to hear exactly what doesn't work sexually.
Yeah.
That's
Yeah, absolutely.
so, yeah, so I agree with you thoroughly that there can be tremendous amount of pleasure just from non-coital or non-intercourse sex or sexuality or sexual intimacy. And it's more about, are you do you, if you desire it and you're curious, you will find answers. You will find ways to do it, you know? So
Absolutely.
it's more about give yourself the permission. If you're feeling like, no, I don't want to give up my sexuality, well, then don't. We support you in exploring
Absolutely.
where you
Absolutely.
want
I
to
mean, it
go
was
with all
amazing to see on that post on Instagram that I mentioned earlier, how many ladies actually said, no, sex is much better now. It's actually better.
that. Sure.
So, I mean, how cool
Yes.
is that to hear that? And also, past 50, we don't have to worry about pregnancy anymore. And that's a
Yeah.
huge issue
Yeah.
that you're always,
You.
especially if you're, practicing natural contraception and stuff like that, that then every month you're like, what's happening, right?
Right,
So
right.
once you get past that age, and then that's something that you never have to worry about anymore. And that's kind of freeing
Absolutely.
as well. So there are a lot of good sides. As you're probably, I think a lot of women also just become more comfortable in our bodies and more
Yeah.
accepting of our bodies, even though our bodies are changing and everything. But I know, like, for example, when I was in my 20s, the things that I used to stress so much about, like body hair or, just crazy, stupid little things. I would ne or the size of my breasts or whatever, like I would never even consider that as an issue, right? Like things like, so what if I have a few hairs on my legs? Who cares? Like that's not even an issue for me. But when you're young, you're so insecure about so many things. And looking
Yeah.
back, you look back at yourself, and it's like, what was wrong with you, woman? I mean, all right? It's like, what in the world could have been wrong with you? But in our minds, we are so critical and we compare ourselves to others. And I
Absolutely.
think once you reach your 50s, you're like, screw it. Like, this is it. This is me.
Exactly.
I love myself. I've learned to love myself. I feel comfortable in my skin. And I think with that, we're like emitting a different kind of energy out there.
Absolutely,
And
yeah.
I
Yeah.
think that kind of energy is just very sexy overall, right?
It is. Oh yeah, confidence is very sexy. Yeah, for
Yeah,
sure.
absolutely.
Confident
So,
and comfortable. Yeah.
and you see a lot of women now over 50, 60, 70, whatever, and they're dating much younger men. So,
Yeah.
there's this new trend now, and these younger guys are quite attracted to these ladies, and they're not bothered about them being 20, 30 years older. So that's a really interesting thing that's happening as well, right? It was always the other way around.
Definitely. Yeah. Have you heard that term GILF? GILF?
Guilt, is that grandmothers you'd like
I'd
to?
love to fuck.
Yeah. Yeah, it was for, it went from MILF to GILF now,
MILF to
right?
JILF.
Or Jill.
Yeah.
it's just, definitely happening, Cougars and all of that stuff.
Cougars, I know. I mean,
Cougars.
I'm not into labeling people like that because I think it
Yeah.
res every time we label a person, we restrict our perception of the depth of a person, you know. But yeah, the trends are very, very interesting. And I mean, I've mentioned it before that I have been on with a dating service for a while, and
Yes.
I started. It's I think it's going to be almost 4 years ago that I start. 3 years ago, can't remember, but. I'm old enough that the age range of men that I initially selected that I would be interested in is older, a little bit older than me, right? A little bit older, which is
Yeah.
kind of my traditional ideal mate would be
Yes.
somebody a little bit older. They're just dropping off like flies. That's
That's the
unfortunately.
problem, yeah.
And bless men, I do like men a lot, but they also they don't take care of themselves unless they've been with a woman who's taken
Took
care
care
of
of
them.
them, yes.
Yeah, they don't look so scrumptious anymore. They
Yeah.
really don't.
No,
And
I totally
so
understand.
my friends have said, you need to lower your age range,
I agree.
Okay, well, maybe. All right, that
Yeah.
I will do that. Why not? And not that I'm, waiting with bated breath for the right guy to come along. This is more of an adventure, but I think you really do have to be flexible, like exactly what you said. You just be very, very flexible in what you're looking for and the kind of sex, and be open to it always changing. And that the other thing is to stop people pleasing. Okay, I
Yes.
think that's a big, 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 big issue that we all had. I mean, how many times, and listen, ladies, send us DMs to tell us the truth here. How many times have you faked an orgasm? Oh, maybe Lynn, you've never faked an
I've
orgasm.
never faked one. I
I
swear to God, never.
thought. Oh, good for
No,
you.
I'm like, oh no, I can't say much because my parents watch this, but I can honestly say I've never faked one. But
Oh, well,
I know a lot of women do.
you are in a very amazing minority, because most
Yes.
women do. And I had, when I was younger, I would do that because I was such a big people pleaser. And then I decided, no, this is absolutely the wrong way to do it. And after a while, I absolutely refused. I just refused. I couldn't stomach it anymore.
Good
But this
girl.
is one thing that as you get older, you get really intolerant and tired of your own bullshit and the things that you do to please men that really don't please you at all, right? They really don't please you at all. And if you have to do that much pleasing, the relationship is not worth it. It's just not worth it, as far as I'm concerned. So I think that's the beauty of getting older is, as you said, you develop confidence, you know yourself better, you love yourself better, and you're not going to put up with your own BS anymore or anybody else's BS. You just
Absolutely.
what
Absolutely.
feels
Lucille, do
right.
you find on these dating apps, so when you're people over 50, when they're looking for someone on the dating apps, because the younger people, it's all about hooking up and everyone's just looking for sex, like no one's even looking for a partner anymore. And do you think this is the same thing that's happening over 50? Because I have a cousin, my husband's cousin, that is on these dating apps. She's over 50 and she's trying to meet someone. And it's like the penis pictures within 2 seconds. They're still coming. And if you don't send them a nude picture right back, then they're blocking you. And I was really shocked. And most of the people on the app are actually married. She's from a small town and she knows all these people and they're all married with wives and everything. And they're sending their dick pics, within the first message. So what has been your experience
Well,
with
I'm with a very different a
because you're with
dating
a
group.
matchmaker,
It's
right?
not, yeah, it's human matchmakers, and it's so it and you have to pay fairly. It's an investment. It's an investment. So it's not like you just sign up for a cheap app and and you send your dick pictures everywhere. No. So people have to be at least somewhat serious because they do have to pay, and they are scrutinized by another human being, third party. So it's very different.
Do you
And I
pay
think that's
pay per date or like a monthly fee, or how does that normally work?
it. They have packages, and packages are for certain periods of time. How long you might, like a 6 month or 20 prospective matches or something like that. So for me, the men have not been like that. They haven't,
They're
they're not going to
respectful
be
and they're looking for a
very
serious
respectful.
relationship. Yeah, I guess if you, I mean, if
What
you
I
go to a matchmaker and you spend all that money, why would you do that if you're just looking for sex? It doesn't make any sense.
Absolutely doesn't make any sense. So I would say if you're interested in something that's a little more solid and stable, you would go with a matchmaker.
No, that's a really great suggestion, Lucille. I think that's really important for people to hear. See, what would you tell someone when they're dealing with different sexual desires? Like if one person in the relationship would like to have sex like every week or twice a week or something, and then the other one once a month, how do you find a compromise?
Yeah, that is a very interesting question. I think one of the things that it comes down to is these kinds of differences help each individual explore why they have this preference, right? Like the first thing is, well, oh yeah, I don't really feel like doing it more than once a month, but why did I get into that? Or why is that important for me? And I think, or if I need it 3 times a day, I think there's also
Oh
something that you
God.
need to look at. You need to look at it yourself, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes by being so open, like so open in discussion with your partner, like no defensiveness. And I know this is really hard to do, but it helps a couple to get to a greater level of intimacy if they can really talk about their differences, rather than just get into that struggle for control. Well, you know, if you were a good wife, you would please me and you'd do it three times a day. Blah, 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 blah. No, that's just, you know, a divorce waiting to happen.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's more about, okay, yeah, you know, we're different individuals. We have different needs. Sometimes when people actually talk about these things openly, they start coming together a little bit more and more because they start understanding one another and they start developing a more of a trust with one another. And they maybe start looking at, well, you know what? Maybe I would like to explore changing things up for myself. Maybe I have a kind of, you know, a negative attitude about sex, for example, that started, you know, when I was very young and, you know, they told me in church that sex was bad and blah, 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 all that stuff, you know, and they examine where their preferences come from. And then they realize, wait a minute, I think I'd like to change that up, you know, or at least explore changing that up. So I would just say, try to look at it as a fertile field of exploration. Just get curious. Don't judge. Absolutely. Don't judge yourself. Don't judge your other, you know, your significant other.
Yeah.
Just get curious about, well, why do you want it so much? Or why don't you want it so much? Or
but do you think people have trouble speaking about sex? Like, I think people go through their whole lives and marriages and everything without actually speaking about it or what their desires are, what they want.
You're absolutely right. Because
why is it so hard to talk about? Like, you share everything with this person, like in a long marriage, for example. Why is talking about these things so challenging?
Well, you know, I agree with you totally. It's like counterintuitive. This is a huge part of your married life. Why can't you talk about it? Well, whoever supported us in talking to one another about it, you couldn't talk about it at the dinner table as you were growing up. Again, we got at best, we got the talks about, you know, when a
Birds
woman
and the
gets
bees.
A cycle and we, right. It's like, so, but never about the actual act of intimacy itself, right? And how to talk to your partner about it. It is so taboo still.
It's taboo. And we also expect the other person to like read our minds and it should be just instinctive and we should just know what to do. And it's like our bathroom habits. It's like swept under the rug with the same things. Like it's just not something that you talk about. And I think the older generation even more so. Maybe the young people talk more about these things. But
I think the younger generations are talking more about it, and bless them.
Maybe too much, a little too much about it.
Maybe too much, and how they're talking about it, I'm not sure is helpful, but at least they're talking about it. But I agree with you. There's this complete delusion in our society that sex is something, well, you just should know how to do it naturally and it should all fall into place. And, you know, you don't need to talk about it. But I think the talking about it actually can make the sex life even better, where you have such a level of intimacy and trust in your partner. You can say anything you want to about sex. So I think that it's just, you know, differences are there to invite us to have an adventure.
Yeah.
And explore.
Yeah, I agree. I agree completely. So let's talk a little bit about what we can do to increase sexual desire, because I think that's a big issue for a lot of people, especially over 50. What are some of the things that we can do? I know in previous episodes, we talked about sunlight on the testicles to increase testosterone for a man, or red light therapy, which can also be very beneficial. It can also help with hormones, red light therapy, and the sun for women as well. Exposing your breasts, your genitals, your abdominal area can also be very important. Ashwagandha can be very helpful for both sexes. There are certain herbs, herbal combinations that you can use. I think lifestyle is very important. Because because if the diet is off and people are drinking a lot of alcohol, smoking a lot of cigarettes, the desire tends to go down with that as well. So I think the cleaner the diet, the more things work and the more the desire. What else would you add to that, Lucille? Do you have anything?
Oh, there are so many things. I think you've covered it really, really well. The thing with women I think, and even men too, to a certain extent, but women to get used to touching your own body and finding pleasure in just touching your own body. You know, I'm kind of shocked by the fact that women don't explore their own vaginas.
No, they said that like there was, I don't know, some class or something that I saw where they gave them a mirror to look at their vagina because most women have never ever looked at it.
Ever looked at it? Yeah.
And they find it
And
absolutely shocking that you, why would you look at that? I mean, so you're like
yeah.
so you're separating yourself from this body part that is like, you know.
I know it's as if it belongs to another human being, not to you. I remember being shocked. I was in my early 20s, and my best friend at the time, she came to me. She was so worried. She said, I booked an appointment with my doctor, and I'm just so concerned. And I asked, well, what's wrong? And she said, well, I was inserting a tampon and it wasn't going up. And I just stuck my finger up and I felt this big bump at the end of my vagina. And I thought, maybe I have cancer. And I said, no, dear, that's your cervix. Poor sweetheart. I mean,
Oh my
I
God, that is
felt
the funniest
for her.
thing
I felt
ever.
for her, you know, but she had already started having sex. And you know, and she, it wasn't like she was totally naive and a virgin and all of that,
Oh my God.
but isn't that just like it's like delusional that we're not supported in just exploring our own genitalia?
Yeah, men don't have an issue with this.
They you know what they do, but they don't, because what they'll do is, and I'm sorry to be vulgar about this, they'll jack off, they'll jack off, but do they spend time actually massaging their testicles? Do they spend time massaging or just sensually pleasuring their bodies without going for the penis right off the bat? They're so penis centric, and the whole thing is about just jacking off, you know, not about
Don,
having.
if you're watching this, please don't keep rewinding this part to watch Dr. Lucille explain this bit over and over again because I know that's gonna happen. Don is our number one fan, guys. So you
And yes, bless you, John. We thank you for being our number one fan. That's it. Try to restrain yourself.
No, but you're right. You're right, Lucille. You're right. It is. It is. It's exactly about that. And it's just getting to the point, getting it out of the way, and then, you know, going to sleep. And then it's not about, yeah, definitely
That's
not
right.
about
That's right.
like exploration or enjoyment.
Exploration is not, it's not really all that well done for, I think, either sex, although men can be more comfortable, of course, touching their own genitals. But it, so once a woman becomes more comfortable touching her own body, she most women actually develop much more of an appreciation of their bodies. You know, they
Absolutely.
start feeling the sensual pleasure that they haven't felt before. And it is, for a lot of women, it's eye-opening. It's
Yes.
really eye-opening that they've missed a whole world of pleasure because they didn't touch their bodies. And again, a lot of it was because, you know, only bad girls touch their bodies,
Yeah.
only bad girls masturbate, only bad girls blah blah blah, right?
Absolutely.
And the other thing is too, like you mentioned early on, Lynn, about how, you know, one of the things that holds us back as we get older is we start drying up. But actually, in fact, if you are starting to explore your vagina and you start working with something like a yoni egg or a jade egg, you can bring back the secretions.
Absolutely.
Even if you're like 10, 20 years postmenopausal, you can bring back the secretions. It's a matter of, you know, the body parts that are not used, they just atrophy, right? But,
Exactly.
you know, if you had a muscle, like, you know, Lynn, if
Yeah.
you have a muscle and you start working it, it develops, right?
Absolutely.
And the vagina is no different.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's exactly
So
like
you're,
that. And there's also like vaginal lasers that are very popular right now, and they work very well for incontinence and also for vaginal dryness and for atrophy and everything. So that can also help enhance your sexual, not just desire, but also sex itself. So it'll be less painful and more desire, more enjoyable. So those lasers can be up very, very helpful as well. Yeah, for sure. Well, guys, I'm gonna wrap up this episode. I'm just really happy that I got Dr. Lucille to say, dick pics and jerking off. So I think what more could you ask for? I think this was a really interesting episode, guys. Send us your sex questions as well, because we like getting those, and people do like talking about this or hearing about this, not so much talking about it. But I think it's really important, and it is part of, healthy aging. I think it's a very important part, and it's
Absolutely. Absolutely.
overlooked.
Listen, all of you people over 50, we have to, all the boomers out there, we have to catch up to the younger folk that are talking about this all the time.
Yeah,
There's no reason why
absolutely.
we have to be
Absolutely.
shy about this,
Yeah,
right?
exactly. Just, be comfortable. It's a normal bodily function like everything else. So nothing to be ashamed of. Yeah, we appreciate you guys listening. Make sure you share this video, our riskiest episode so far. So make sure you share this with everyone that you know. Next episode, we're gonna have, what do we have next episode? We're gonna have oh,
Some
we're gonna
very
have
interesting questions.
cancer
Yes.
questions. That will be interesting. Some emotional suffering. Someone that is very burnt out during work. And then we've got our number one fan, Dawn, is
And
back with
Dawn
a
is back.
question about getting older. So that's going to be interesting as well, guys. Thank you so much. Thank you for your support. Keep sending us your questions. Make sure you like, subscribe, and comment below.
Yeah, thanks, everybody.
Thank you, guys. All the best. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Please be aware that Lynn and I are here to provide insights, advice, stories that are for educational and entertainment purposes only. None of our content should be considered to be personal, medical, or mental health therapy. If you are experiencing a mental health or physical health challenge, please consult the appropriate healthcare specialist. We are here to provide the best possible content in an atmosphere of positive conversation and personal growth.